Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the SFLC podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that's dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That's teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is theirs. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5 The Sports Hub and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Finally, we'd like to thank the UFC South Austin Gym, located at 9900 South Interstate 35 in Austin, Texas. Learn how you can get 3 free classes when you sign up and mention the SFLC podcast. Be sure to call them at 512-292-1900.
SFLC podcast.
All right, Vikes fans, welcome back to the SFLC podcast. I am Ryan Sprague, and we have kind of a loaded week ahead of us. You know, we just got done with one of the busiest fight weeks kind of on the calendar year between UFC 244, and then, of course, we had Canelo Alvarez fighting Sergey Kovalev. I, of course, was watching both of them. We had Invicta fights on Friday. So there was a lot to talk about, you know, Invicta, which is out there doing their thing, female professional MMA. So, you know, got to bring back on a longtime friend of the show. Always love having him on because he always just kind of drops knowledge, but he will turn heads in the way of doing it. The owner of Sick Jitsu, works with fighters such as Michael Chiesa, Sam Cecilia, just to name a couple. Rick Little. Rick, we all know you. Thank you for coming back on the show, man.
Yeah, anytime.
So, you know, we'll get right into it. We were watching all of the fights and, you know, the Canelo Kovalev fight definitely delivered. And then, of course, we had the title for the baddest motherfucker belt between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz, which the doctors stopped at the New York State Athletic Commission, causing some controversy. We know that Diaz is not happy about it. We know there are fight fans that are not happy about it. Rick, what is your thought about what happened?
Well, you misled. You said it wrong. The doctors stopped the carnage. That's what they stopped. I mean, it was one of those nights that you could see the direction it was going. I just watched a boxing match in Chicago about a month ago where the guy died.
Patrick Day.
Yep. And it was eerily similar to me, where he was semi-competitive but just beat to every punch. Just behind a little constantly, and he was just game enough to be standing right there in range, getting hit. You know? So, I mean, it was eerily similar.
I can agree with you, but I'll tell you what, Rick. Let's take boxing back quite a few years to maybe something that's a little bit more similar when we watch Oscar De La Hoya fighting Julio Cesar Chavez. Julio Cesar Chavez, I believe, was in his 98th fight at that point. He clearly had suffered a cut above his eye in training that his team did a great job of covering up, but Oscar De La Hoya opened it up in the first round, blood pouring everywhere, and that fight went 4 rounds from the opening minute of the first round that the cut was opened. So to me, I'm sitting here thinking 4 3-minute rounds, 12 minutes. That's about 2.5 rounds of, for lack of a better term, carnage, right? All the blood going everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is, and I'm not disagreeing with you, I don't have a problem with the doctor's stoppage. I think where the problem comes in is more, you know, the New York State Athletic Commission is still very new to MMA. So they're trying to make sure that fighter safety is first, and I am on board with that 100%. I talked with Steve Molhausen of DAZN a couple weeks back, and we talked about making boxing safer because he was also in attendance of the fight where Patrick Day unfortunately died. So I don't disagree with it, but why are fight fans so upset that it got stopped?
Well, you said it yourself. The title was bad as motherfucker. And they want, you know, people when they watch a fight like that want to see someone get literally fucked up. So, and that's what we were getting. To me, we got 10-8 rounds every round. I don't know what these judges are watching. I've looked at the scorecards. Those were 10-8 rounds, maybe 10-7 in round two. And one guy was getting beat a lot by a guy, to me, who hadn't even hit his stride yet. Because we fought Masvidal before. We've competed against him. I've studied him, and he's exactly like Nate Diaz as far as if you hurt him or catch him, he was gets tougher. And that fight was going the wrong direction. We already had two concussions in that fight, which is the head kick, which half knocked Nate out. We had a right hand that wobbled him that half knocked him out. I mean, I think people got their money's worth and they don't realize they got their money's worth. That's the thing, because Nate is so tough, but Patrick Day is tough too.
Oh, I agree with you. And as a matter of fact, there was another boxing match that was on the undercard of the Canelo-Kovalev fight with Marlon Esparza, who ended up suffering an incidental headbutt. It was completely accidental, but that bled for rounds. You know, at one point we could see her fucking skull. And, you know, she ended up having it stopped. She didn't like that the judges stopped it, but obviously the blood was getting in her eyes. She required 20 stitches from that headbutt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're stuck on the stitches. I'm stuck on the cumulative damage. I mean, we don't know what the doctor is seeing in his pupils, in his eyes, in his mannerisms. There's a lot of factors that you're looking at, you know. I mean, we don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was the cut, but we don't know 100%.
So, I mean, yes, did we get our money's worth? Yes. Do we need to run it back? I don't think so. You know, we'll see what's in the future for Jorge Masvidal. You know, it was a great win for him. I think I maybe would have liked to possibly see it go one more round because we know that Nate does like to, and you've studied him before, he does like to take fighters into deep waters in the championship rounds, right? You know?
I guess. I don't know where that comes from either. I just don't, because don't get me wrong, I think Nate's one of the biggest studs ever in our sport, him and Nick. But I don't know where that comes from. Where has Nate been this five-round wonder? I just don't know where it's at. I don't know if he's ever won a five-rounder. I don't know. Even in the McGregor fight, he still, like, lost round four. So, I mean, I don't know where that comes from, to be honest. And, you know, I know that they do triathlons and everything, but I don't know how he's any more of a five-rounder than Masvidal is. I really don't know where the facts are on that one. We're so stuck on that.
Yeah, and again, this is something that, you know, you and myself and the fight community are going to probably be bickering about for a while, right? One side is clearly on, while Diaz could have continued fighting, and the other one was, let's make sure the fighters are safe. I'm kind of in between, right? Like, did I want to see if Nate had a gas tank for the fourth round? Yeah, but in the same sense, was the cut bad? Of course it was.
I just, the way I've been watching enough fights in my life and see how things are going, who's got the angles, beating who to the punch. You know, I watched Conor, to me, win against Floyd for the first five rounds. I thought he won every round. And you could see him fading fast, and you just knew what was coming. You knew that that fight wasn't going to go the distance. He started wearing out, and I saw something that everybody else, I guess, did not see, because I saw Nate getting put away brutally in round four or five. And I didn't want to see it. And I was the one guy that was glad I got stopped. I just know he was going to get put away in not a good fashion. I feel like George was just getting warmed up. And and like I said, he's beating him to every punch. And I feel like he was doing it in a fashion of control. I feel like he didn't even get going himself. So I don't know. I'm glad that I didn't see the finality that I know that was coming.
All right. And, you know, you mentioned the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. I also was in Toronto in the media room when Floyd was talking about that fight. This was when Badou Jack fought Adonis Stevenson. And, you know, even Floyd had the game plan, right? He even said into a live microphone, I know that Conor's gas tank is good enough for five-minute rounds. So that's 25 minutes. So when can I go after him? In the ninth round, when he hits 27 minutes and he's done, that's when I'm going to make this happen. And sure as shit, Floyd gets what Floyd wants, and that's how the fight ended.
Yeah, correct. Or he had a harder time in the first few rounds than I think he thought he would.
Yeah, he's a bit of a showman, too. I think that, you know, Conor went in there being a very game opponent, and Floyd was kind of that mindset, like, look, I'll carry you through these rounds, but if you come at me, I'm going to put you down.
Yeah, well, that's where me and you would differ far from differing, because I don't buy that for 1 second. I don't think in a five-round format he could ever beat Conor in any sport, including boxing. I don't think he beat a lot of MMA guys. He doesn't have the power to do so. If someone comes at him, he wouldn't even win in a street fight in that way and against somebody average. This is a thing that he uses over time. He's a decisionator. He doesn't have the ability to do that. So there's no way he could have put him away any sooner. And if he tried, he would have gotten himself hurt. So I was the one guy that was betting on Conor in it because I was hoping that Floyd had the guts to actually throw with him. He had first lead right. He threw at Conor. He got uppercutted in round one and learned his lesson. I'm going to wait. That's what I saw. I saw him he got counter uppercutted, and no one can ever convince me that he meant to do that. He left his chin in the air and wanted to test Conor's uppercut. Now, granted, he has a chin of granite, and he ate it, but I think you know what punch I'm talking about, right in round one.
Yes, I do.
His little quick right hand, and he ate a fast uppercut, and I think right then and there, he got some respect for him. I really do, and I think he stopped trying those lead rights and stuff from that point on and just decided to carry the fight on. But I believe it was very dangerous for him. And just how I also knew that Artem was going to beat Pauly in bare knuckle, because the shorter rounds and stuff, I don't believe favor these guys at all.
Wow.
At all. So technique, let me tell you something about technique while you have a coach on the phone. Technique is one of the most overrated things there is, because technique is another word for conservation. Conservation of energy. You learn technique so you can go these long distances. But technique is irrelevant if you're going short distances. Like, let's say, Tough Man or these fast little things they have. Technique is not as important. You'll even see, we have that saying in wrestling, watch the wrestlers. The good wrestlers win in round three when everyone's tired because of technique, but a lot of them will be down in round one or two. Why? Because the other guy maybe just stronger, maybe just nastier. But eventually technique will catch you. Yes, it always is the case. But you limit, you know, you just see a street fight. That's why I've always had a problem with leg kicks. If you see a street fight, you don't see the technical aspect of leg kicks and things like that work. Because the guy's coming in hot. So it doesn't matter. So when the Artem Pauly thing, that's an easy fight for me to call. Short rounds like that, I know he'd win. And so you tell me Conor goes five rounds with Floyd in a brawl, Floyd's gonna lose. Especially if it was something even a sloppier type of thing, like bare knuckle, where blocking is not as important because you still get cut and stuff. I mean, It only works in boxing in 10 rounders.
Well, luckily so, for you, Rick. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So, yeah, that was pretty much all I had to say. Is the technical aspect of it is just, it's just a way to conserve energy. But if you can find an athlete that is good at keeping his cardio up while he's slugging, like let's think of a guy, old school Wanderlei Silva or Fedor Emelianenko. Remember how he used to throw?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how Fedor used to throw? He didn't get tired. That's why he was the best to ever live. There was not much technique in some of those bombs he's throwing, but common knowledge would tell you you get tired fighting like that. He was a berserker from the second the fight was a go. But he was also unstoppable. How do you technically fight a guy like that?
I don't think you can. You
know? Huh?
I don't think you can. I think you're right.
Yeah. The way he lost was age. He finally started to age a little. Young Verdum caught him. You know? So that to me, like I said, I believe the greatest is Burke. And he's probably the least technical out of the great fighters.
That makes sense. You know? Well, luckily for you, I think that we are going to see in 2020... Floyd Mayweather fight again. I do believe it will be versus Manny Pacquiao part two. And we'll see if you know, Floyd still has what it takes. And if for nothing else, he's going to make $200 to $300 million on that fight. But with that being said, Jorge Masvidal beats Nate Diaz. And now he's trying to call out Canelo Alvarez. Is that a dumb move for Masvidal?
Is that a what?
A dumb move for Masvidal.
Well, no, he's just trying to make money. But that's like, you know, he sees Canelo hit that $35 million, and I don't blame him seeing those numbers. He knows he'll get some millions in there. So, but no, he we all know he's not going to win that. I mean, I know he wouldn't win that matchup. But, I mean, this is a different call-out. Like I said, I believe Conor had a chance due to youth and hopefully Floyd being cocky thinking he could end him in 3 or 4 rounds. You know what I mean? That's where I thought he had a chance. And Floyd was smart. He tried to exchange with him. His very first exchange, he learned he didn't want to exchange with him. He didn't want to play that game. So Canelo was a different story. He can exchange. He can box. He can do it all. He can take a punch. No, that's not good. It's not a good matchup for him. Unless it was a 3-rounder or 4-rounder, then, you know, anybody can win fights like those. You know what I mean? With a moderate amount of skill.
Oh, man, Rick.
At the beginning of a real boxing match of 12 rounds, no. But again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Masvidal win the first 3 rounds, just like Floyd won the first, like Conor won the first 4 or 5, in my opinion.
Wow.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I just know that over time, he is going to be too technical for the rules of boxing and the length of, you know, time that boxing takes.
That's true.
So, I don't really want to see that one. Maybe people will want to see that.
Well, I'm going to put you on with Blake Stevenson at some point. I'm going to let you say the same thing about that McGregor-Mayweather fight. And I'm just going to troll both of you and try and add fuel to the fire to watch you two go back and forth on that.
Yeah, Blake's probably the same guy who believes everything Trump says.
Ooh.
That's probably that guy. You make excuses for stuff. Everybody's making excuses for Floyd. He carried him. He did this. He did that. He lost the first few rounds because of a younger, hungrier guy. That's why he lost the first few rounds. Is he a better boxer? Yes, he is. But he cannot beat him within 3 or 4 rounds, and he never would. They could do that match 100 times. Floyd would lose the first few rounds every time. That's what I'm telling you. And I don't care what this dude says.
Rick, I love this because we haven't even gotten in to the meat version of our discussion, and you're already spitting fire.
Yeah, let's get to it then.
Well, without further ado, Rick, you have been in the news quite a bit. You know, we obviously know that you had the documentary about you and Michael Chiesa and Sam Cecilia and Juliana Pena. It was great. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. You can find it on YouTube. It's great. But you're in the news now for another promotion that you have going on. It's
called Fight Town. You're supposed to tell them it's called Fight Town. Watch it. That's how you watch it on YouTube.
There you go.
Go on.
Okay, so you have a new fight coming up in the state of Washington called Conquest at the Cage on November 15th, and it's turning a lot of heads, Rick, because you have two preteen girls that are going to test their strength and their knowledge against each other in Darina Glassburn versus Lola Flower Papdatos, who is Cindy Dandua's daughter.
Yes.
Rick?
Cindy's awesome too, by the way. I love Cindy.
Cindy has been a fighter for years and years. She is definitely a veteran, a pioneer for women's MMA. And of course, we've seen all of what's happened with women's MMA and women's boxing. They have gone light years ahead of any other women's sport, in my professional opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But with that in mind, you ended up doing this story, and you came to have this fight. It's a lot to digest. You have two preteen girls fighting each other in an MMA fight. Obviously, it's turning heads, but let's kind of unpack this a little bit, because like I said, there's a lot to this story. So let's start at the beginning, Rick. How did this concept come up?
Well, this concept came up through Cindy. She just loves coming here to Washington State. I don't know why. She's been a lot all over the world. She lives in Belgium, but she really loves coming to Conquest of the Cage, my show, either to watch, just to hang out in Washington, Coeur d'Alene area, Seattle area, or to compete. You know, she's competed here before. She likes it. We're good friends through Misha, who I'm also still good friends with. And she wanted to be here, and her dream was to have her daughter fight or compete in anything in the States. And she's always asking me every card if I have something for her daughter. And I do not look, because I didn't want to see it. I don't want to see two little kids fight, to be honest. So I'm always like, yeah, I'll take a look. But I don't look. But I had one of my best friends who owns a gym, Eddie Grant, who, as much a stud as she is a studess, you know, start to pester me about finding something for his girl. And say she goes to Vegas, wins these tournaments, wins Naga, wins these kickboxing tournaments, does all this stuff. And he kept bugging me over time, and it literally took me like 6 months to put it together in my brain that they're asking the same thing. And it finally, after enough of them both talking, I just asked the question, well, Cindy, how old is your daughter? So I never really cared to really put it together, even though I was telling her I was. And she's like 12. And then I'm like, Eddie, how old's your kid? 12. And I'm like, okay, well, how much does your girl weigh? You know, 81 pounds. How much does your girl weigh? 82 pounds. Then I'm starting to go, this is lining up too good. You know, to the point where this can happen. And now I'm going to have to actually, as a friend of theirs both, not even a promoter, as a friend, if I just heard from my friends wanting their people to compete, where can I find a competition for them? I would refer them to where I could find it. Right? Unfortunately, I'm referring to myself, because that's the middle ground of this. You know, it's they both like coming to Spokane. Eddie works for me on my fight promotions that I do on when I travel out of town. He's my matchmaker. And Cindy, like I said, a good friend of mine, has been for a long time. You know, her one UFC fight, I flew down there to watch it. You know, that's how close I am with her. So I, you know, it all came together. They all started talking. I mean, we all started talking, getting information. And I'm like, watching video, I'm like, this is a fair matchup. And these girls really want to do it. And these parents really want them to do it. And everybody around them, the coaches, want them to do it. I just decided it's not my job to be the decider of what's right and wrong. My job is to make sure it's safe and you know, fair and all those other things, and that the people I'm dealing with aren't crazy. I know Cindy's not crazy. I know Eddie's not crazy, so it's an easy choice, even though, believe it or not, I was just like everybody else on this and didn't want to do it. It just lined up too well. And so the people that need to be questioned to me are the parents, not myself.
Okay. I'll tell you what, let's take a look at this. I mean, you know, Cindy, you've known her for a long time. You have a person to face her daughter. Is there a question here that should be asked to the parents of the preteens that are fighting?
I mean, anybody that, I guess, that like would have a negative comment or anything about it should be more, you know, it should be steered to them. Because, right, every other kid's allowed to play every other sport there is, and everyone's aware of their dangers. You know, everything we do nowadays has something you sign that I'm aware of this and I'm aware of that. if I get on this roller coaster ride, I'm aware of this, you know, anything that we do. And so these parents, they love their kids. They're with their kids all the time. Their kids live the same life they do, and they want this. So, you know, that's where the question should be. My job, again, like I said, is to make sure everything's fair on the equal playing field, and there's nothing shady going on, where there's not a 90-pound person going against a 70-pound person, you know, or a 15-year-old against an 11-year-old. But if I see everything fair, I just don't see why it wouldn't be right. You know what I mean? We sit there in the sport, I've been in it for 20 years, and we preach it's safer than boxing and safer than this and safer than NFL football or hockey. And yet all the other sports are okay for the kids to play. I almost feel guilty that I myself even have hesitation, because I sit there and argue to everybody, no, our sport actually has a better safety record than this sport and that sport. And then all of a sudden it gets put in my face, you put two 12-year-olds together, and then I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's dangerous. I'm contradicting myself even there.
Yeah, you are. And a quick sidebar, Rick. If we go back to that Canelo Kovalev fight, on the undercard, we had Evander Holyfield's son boxing, and he ended up winning his fight in like the first minute of the first round. I want to say it was a 16-second fight. So these parents know what their kids are getting into. You have to know that they're going to be trained the same way that their parents are. So yes, the question is, you know, is it fair for them to be questioned at all? So the next question I have for you, Rick, is, are you catching negative feedback for this?
Yeah, a lot of my older friends are, you know, old school friends are asking me, like they're pretty adamant on it, that they're like, what are you doing? You've put out a lot of UFC fighters, you have a reputable gym, there's no reason to do this. And I'm like, yeah, there is no reason to do this. My show's already sold out, whether these kids are on the card or not. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. If I pull them, it does not affect the show.
Right.
But again, these are friends of mine. I would just be judging the credibility of people that I respect. They want this. They know what they're doing. They can do it. You know, and it's, here's a good example. My kid wanted to compete when he was 13, 14. I didn't let him. I couldn't comprehend it. So, I mean, it is weird because I didn't let him go till he was 19. And that was still nerve-wracking for me. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they can have their 12-year-old daughter compete. Myself, personally, I couldn't do it myself. But then again, my kid wasn't as driven as these girls. He had some problems with that. He's always been naturally talented, but he had some problems with it. I didn't see the drive and hunger, so it didn't, you know, feel like he had to get in there. You know, both the parents of these kids, they say their kids have the drive and hunger and they want to get in there. You know, so they can do it. I myself personally, like I said, couldn't do it when my child asked me. So, you know, it might make me look bad as a promoter because I can have other kids do it, but not my own. But again, that's the question that should go to the parents, because the parents are more than insistent. I was talked into it from logic, right? So that's why we're doing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's go ahead and you had referred back to, you know, football and, you know, all these other sports. But in the sport of martial arts, we have youth Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes and competitions. We have youth karate tournaments. We have youth boxing, which a lot of people praise. Kids are starting to wrestle at a younger age. So why was this the eye-popping? Is it because you put all of this together now? Is it because you take all of these different...
It's eye-popping because there's a cage in the background with the women flexing, you know, little girls flexing. The whole cage gets people, you know, so... But I saw this poll on the news. I was on the news, and I saw this poll, and it was like 90% no. Like, people were not happy. But I would almost be willing to bet you that the same 90% are people that say no on MMA, that say no on MMA in general.
That's a good point.
I'd be interested to see if you just did a separate poll that says, hey, do you think MMA is like a sport or is it something brutal, too brutal, and you don't know why it's around? I bet you it would be 90 to 10. On a basic news channel, as is anyway. discouraging for me at first, but not really, because I did an interview like this on the news. I believe I made sense. And so it's disappointing to see the poll results where, you know, 9 out of 10 say this dude's crazy.
Well, you did that interview, and I watched that interview, Rick. What did the film crew say? What did the host say to you before, after, you know, piecing this together? Because you and I know how news articles work, right? You end up doing this large interview, much like you and I are doing, and you know, you pick the most interesting highlights from that interview, and that's what goes on here. Unfortunately, yeah. Or probably fortunately for you and I, this show is not edited, right? You can say whatever fucking swear word you want on here. I don't care. We can talk about this in great length. And at the end, everyone who's listening to this, Rick, is going to hear the entire interview. They're not going to get clips that fit into a 90-second segment.
Well, at least the 90-second was pretty accurate to everything I said. I mean, they made me look okay, because I know they can cut it and make me look bad. The guy who was doing it was a young guy, an athlete. I feel like it's all just on the people. There's a young guy, an athlete, you know, that did the interview, and he was very interested and excited. And yet the lady that called me to set it up called me angry. I could tell she was angry. She's like, I'm blah, blah, blah. I don't remember her name, from Creme 2 News. We're interested in doing an article on this, on this something. She said weird, this unbelievable fight that you have with kids. And, you know, going to figure out why this is happening. And you could tell that she was not cool with it. and she literally almost questioned me then and there. It was almost like the interview. I just don't know why you would do it. But, you know, and she sounded a little older. And again, it didn't sound like anybody that even watched it at all anyway.
Yeah.
So my answer to her is, I understand if you you don't like to see two 30-year-olds fight, you ain't going to like to see two 12-year-olds fight. That's for sure.
So, well, I'll tell you what, Rick. I think that you make a lot of great points there. But let's look at this fight individually. You know, they said they're the same weight. They're the same age. They clearly have the same, I guess, high-level training that would make this fight make sense. But obviously, this is an amateur fight. So what rules and safety precautions are being taken here? Are they wearing shin guards? Are they wearing headgear?
Well, here comes a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret.
Okay.
I'm going to put as much stuff on them as I can. I know the parents don't want it, but shin pads, bigger gloves, I am pushing for. I want the kids to get in the cage. I want the kids to make the walk. And to me, that's half the battle. Getting under the lights with people screaming. I want them to feel all that. I don't want them to feel anything else, which is the word pain or hits or anything. I will never let that be with MMA gloves. Even though we sit there and say MMA gloves are safer, it still scares me. Yet.
Wow.
If I have my way, it will have shin pads and bigger gloves. But again, these parents, I feel like, are apt in a person. He's not brain damaged. She's very intelligent. Eddie runs an amazing school and is actually one of the best female trainers on the planet. And he's always, he has Barb Honchak in his gym, and Sam Hughes right now is undefeated, who needs to be signed. And among other girls. And this little girl trains with all the girls, you know, she trained on the women's fight team. And so he knows what he's talking about too. So I feel like they can talk me into it, but I'm going to fight on myself on that. I'll let the parents decide. I'll let the parents decide on it. If it goes the way I hope it goes, they have puffier combat sports type puffy gloves with open fingers and some shin pads. Even though I think leg kicking does nothing.
Every time you do this to me all the time. You and I talk about leg kicks and fucking body shots, and it's going to be an endless battle. You and I are going to be...
Well, I almost lost that battle because I told everybody, when you get a true fighter in there, the body shots are the most overrated strike on planet Earth. I really believe that. And then I actually watched Nate go down to a body shot. So that opened my eyes a little bit. You know, he actually hit the deck from a body shot, and I didn't think I'd ever see a Diaz go down to one, to be honest, because I do believe it's a mental thing. But I also think he made the decision to go down because he got kicked in the belly, and you watched him take two steps back and he went to guard. And I think it was more of a decision that, oh, the wind's knocked out of me. I think my best way to protect myself is with on my back with my feet up than just standing there. Exactly. I still think he made a thoughtful decision, even though he took the hardest high kick ever to the guts while he was breathing in. Like, he got the wind knocked out of him for sure. But it also proves my point. What I'm saying is you can mentally deal with those as opposed to everybody saying, no, you get hit, it's over. You shut down. Your whole system shuts down and all that stuff. No, Nate fought through it. He thought he was tired. He was breathing in. He was doing everything wrong. He was southpaw on a right-handed tie kick that went 5 inches deep into his guts. And he knocked the wind out of him, and he still hung in there. He hit it well. You sound surprised. Sounds like you don't even realize he went down to a body shot.
Honestly, I didn't even pick up on that. Now I have to go back and rewatch the fight because, well, that's what we do.
He went down to a body shot, and I something that I was quoted in an interview saying, I will never go down to those. Our camp will never go down to those, and we will never. And, you know, but I also meant by punches. I'm not, you know, kicks are and knees are a whole different story. A tie kick, so kicks are a whole different thing. You can just snap ribs with kicks and do some brutal damage with those things. So that's not really what I meant. I meant with punches, but I did use the Diaz as an example.
If it makes you feel any better, Rick, you have at least slightly swayed me to the point that when I would go into the gym and I'm doing my workouts, at one point I would do hanging leg raises, and every time that I brought my legs down, I would have somebody punch me in the stomach and in the abs to kind of micro tear those muscles to kind of, you know, gauge them for handling strikes.
Yeah. Well, so, that's good. But again, like I said, it just depends on how important something is to you, because if there was a fire underneath your feet and your feet were going to burn and melt, you could keep your feet up no matter how hard someone's punching you or doing whatever. It just depends on how important something is to you. If you are a world championship type fighter and someone hits you in the belly, you will not lose your belt that way. I've always said that, and I've always believed it. If you're an average fighter, you can lose that way.
Yeah.
But I don't believe championship mindset fighters go down to stuff like that. You know, they don't die in the wild that way either. That's what I'm saying. You can, you know, if an animal or something get the wind knocked out of them, believe me, they'll keep running to survive. If you're getting your leg bit off by a shark, you can still swim back to shore. I've always said that. So if you fall to a leg kick, then you must not want it that bad, because if you get your leg bitten off by a shark, you still swim to shore. I know that. So it just depends on how important something is to you.
Oh, man. And then again, we go back to this, and every interview I have with you, we're talking about that. But let's go back a little bit more towards the fight. So as you're getting this brought up, because you know
I'm
that
trying to make you tougher, right? And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to, when you go in there and spar with the guys and they punch you real hard in the stomach and wait for you to fall, I want you to smile at them and get over the hump with that. That's what I want, because I believe it's possible.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I come into Spokane the next time, well, the first time I'm ever out there, I'll go to your gym and, you know, I'll let Sam Cecilia and Michael Chiesa tee off on my midsection. Sound good?
That'll work. You can do it. You can do it. They do it to each other, and they used to drop, and now they don't. It's a mental thing.
Jesus.
Okay, go on.
All right, so we took our little sidebar like we always do in every interview we have. Well, the next question then is, you know that this is going to happen at the casino. Did the casino raise any objections when you brought this to light?
They're starting to now, because they're starting to hear some stuff about it, and I don't blame them. I mean, they're probably getting a random call that says, hey, two girls are going to fist fight that are 12. I don't like it. And the casino probably is like, whoa, that is pretty brave there.
Okay.
So I've had some talks with them and explained to them that this is going to be very controlled, and there's three parties involved, me and the two parents, or the four parents, whatever, but there's three sets of parties involved here, that we are going to make this as safe as possible, and it's not designed to be spectacle. I'm not trying to make money off of it or anything like that. I'm doing this at two of my best friends will need to fight competition for their future superstars, and we're all working together to make this great experience for their little these little kids. Simple.
Wow.
And that we will figure out everything, all the details. But I the details are not figured out yet, if that's what you're asking.
And I guess that the only other thing that I really want to ask about this is, you talked about how you've gotten, you know, phone calls from your friends, you know, and we know that you were still in touch with Misha Tate, and you're still with Juliana. You have Sam, you have Michael. Have those guys said anything to you about this?
Well, they fight. So you talk to fighters, they love it. You know, they're in a fighter out there. Not a single fighter out there you will find that will have a problem with it. Because they're going to believe and get the kids early, young, training, competing, young, see if they really love it, you know, to follow their dreams early. Now that, yeah, that's never going to happen. It's always the non-fighters that are going to say something. And I'm a non-fighter. I'm a coach. So if you want to know the truth, like I said, I have more of a problem with it than the fighters do. Because I know when these girls, I meet them, I'm going to see them. It's going to make me want to tear up. I'm going to be like, this cute little girl, I do not want to see her in the cage. I feel like I'm going to say that myself to myself. I really do. I feel like I'm going to have a problem when I see these cute little girls. I see pictures of them. I see them training, and I see stuff, and they're just little angels to me. So it's going to be weird for me even, you know? So that's why I'm going to say, if I get my way, this is going to be padded up to the max. So, you know, we'll see. But the parents are going to have their equal say in this, too.
All right.
And, you know, they're all going to meet. We're all going to look at the girls. They are going to look at each other. And we're just going to figure this out, how to make it to where they both leave the cage smiling. That's my goal.
Rick, I think you...
time of their life.
Well, Rick, I think you kind of answered everything. I know that once this story kind of got out, and like you said, you know, there's been some negative backlash. There's been some mixed emotions. But when you put it like that, it does kind of seem hard to disagree with, right? Especially when you're sitting here saying, look, I don't want to see it. I wouldn't let my own kid do this, you know, but this isn't my choice. I'm really doing this to make sure that, you know, if this is going to happen, it's at least going to be as safe as possible.
Exactly. Exactly. We have, at Northern Quest, we have everything under the sun there. Every medical type team, everything. There's nothing that's going to be safe as anything. And you have an app promoter that actually cares. Okay, I limit knees and elbows on my card. I don't even want to see people cut. I love seeing people compete. I do not like seeing people hurt. So, you know, owning a show is a weird, really weird thing. Other promoters can probably agree. Everybody thinks it's just about the money, and maybe for some it is. But it is very important that these fighters don't get hurt, because they trust you with everything. When I used to fight, promoters lied to me. I go in there and get my ass whooped or whoop someone's ass for nothing. And they didn't appreciate that we're trusting them, you know? And so anybody that shows up on my show that does a match that I put together is basically saying, I trust you that this is fair, you know? And it's my job to make sure that I am not a jerk or a snake and get anybody hurt for whatever reason, you know? I want everything to be fair as possible. So, and then when they're not hurt after the show, then that's a successful show to me. So, I mean, deep inside, I'm always worried about injury, and it's just about any fight, not just these girls. Obviously, there's a spotlight on these girls. I just hope it doesn't filter to any other fight, right? Where we're not paying attention to them, and I'm not doing my due diligence on the matchmaking on other fights, because I'm putting a lot of energy into this one.
Sounds like it. Well, yeah. It sounds like I was about to say, where can people go to get to watch the fight? But you said it's sold out.
Yeah, well, you know, they always say that, and then they release extra tickets and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if walk-ups get in, and maybe, you know, there is a few left. Sold out usually means 90% sold out. So you might want to look it up. They can go to northernquest.com and Northern Quest Casino. They can look that up. And you'll see the tickets. That's the show they're advertising right now, ahead of all the concerts and everything, because that's what's next. But, I believe if people show up, they always make standing room and stuff available. So if they really want to see it, they'll be able to see it.
Rick, I'd say that you basically answered everything that I had. I appreciate you taking the time. I know that this was kind of a touchy subject, and you know, hearing your side of it completely kind of eased a lot and gave us a lot of answers that maybe we didn't get otherwise.
You know, I'm not the average promoter, as far as I feel like a lot of them, once they make their decisions, would say, listen, yes, they're going to fight. They're going to do MMA. The parents said, yes, that's what it is. They're going to fight. Tune in or don't tune in. But it truly isn't like that for me. I know I'm going to see these little girls. I'm going to have a tough time personally. I really am. But I don't know the little girls. I've never really been around them. So like I said, you got to leave it up to the parents. You got to trust them, and I trust them with everything. So I'm just going to sit back as much as I can, offer as much my two cents, to water it down as much as I can, and so everybody has a good time, including the fans, and that backlash afterwards, you know, is limited, that people realize that everybody involved actually gives a shit. So, and that's a fact on my show. I don't think you'd ever talk to one single soul of my soul on my show that says I didn't give a shit. If someone's in the hospital, I go to the hospital, because I feel like it's my fault on the matchmaking. You know, so I've never left somebody hanging on one of my shows, ever. Now, guys we fought against the UFC or something, they're in the hospital. I'm not visiting them. They're in the big leagues, they signed up for it. We get one on them, that's that. But this stuff, you fight on my show, I take personal responsibility to it. So I, you know, if you really want to hit me below the belt, people have a problem with this, they can say that Rick doesn't give a shit about people on a show. That's how you get me. But there, no one's going to say that I don't care about this fight, but I'm not taking every measure I can. And I'm not, there's no ulterior motive to it, making money, none of that crap or notoriety. I didn't know it would pop like this. I just have two friends that want to compete against each other. That's that.
That's fair. Well, Rick, you know, like I said, we always love having you on the show. And, you know, you still have Sam, you still have Mike, you still have all these fighters. So outside of this huge show that we've been just talked about and kind of dissected, what else are we going to see from Sick Jitsu and Rick Little coming up at the end of 2019 and leading into 2020?
Well, we've actually, you know, I've been in a little bit of a bump here. We've been in a little bit of a, let me find you on here. I can't find my speaker. We've had a little bit of a bump, but Sam's fighting here in the end of November, Bellator. Believe it or not, they turned him around, a quick fight. I think you're going to see an epic performance from Sam. He fights way better angry. He's angry at his last performance. Mike's got a huge announcement coming in January. He's got a big fight coming. I can't say it because the UFC hasn't announced it.
I'm coming right at you. You know I'm going to bother you and badger you as we get closer to that, to get that fucking announcement.
Oh, yeah. You'll be the first to know when I can say it, but I can tell you it's an epic fight that's going to put us right up in the top to fight, you know, that getting the title contention in that 170 division. And Juliana, you know, that's a little, I'm a little upset about the Juliana thing. I believe she's one of the best girls in the world. She won the Ultimate Fighter and has still never got a title shot. She has just as good of a record in the MMA as Amanda Nunes in UFC. I mean, all these girls get title shots that were on her Ultimate Fighter. The winner has even, of the female, has been a champion or got a title fight right away. She was the first ever female Ultimate Fighter and has still not gotten a title shot. And I don't think it's because they like grapplers. I think if she ever gets the Amanda Nunes fight, you're going to see Amanda Nunes kryptonite. Juliana has taken down every single girl she's ever fought in the history of her MMA career, including Valentina Shevchenko. She's taken everybody down. And Amanda Nunes will get taken down that fight. It's just a matter of Amanda can win off her back or not, like Valentina did. I think that's her kryptonite. And I think you'll see Julie as a world champion next year if they get the balls to book that fight.
Wow, strong words, sir.
Yep.
Well, we love it. And Rick, like I said, I'm not going to take up.
I believe those words. They're strong because I believe them.
I love it. I think it's great. And, you know, you're one of the people that never really pulls a punch on this show. And I think that's, you know, one of the many reasons we love having you on. But, you know, in the interest of time, and I know you're a very busy man, we're going to go ahead and let you go. You know, I think everything's in the proof of the pudding. If you're looking for tickets, you're out in the Spokane, Washington area, you can check this fight out on November 15th, Conquest of the Cage. And then, of course, you know, look up Rick Whittle. We always see him on Facebook and, you know, fueling fire and flames wherever he's going. But I think that's going to do it for us here on the SFLC podcast. And Rick, of course, we'll be badgering you for that news about Michael Chiesa as we get closer to the fight announcement.